Hey kids, this is me, your dude, Isaac Robots, and we are back with another super exciting, super fun episode of World Famous. This time out, honestly, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're just going to wing it. Going to go out there on a wing and a prayer, as they say, but until we get to that praying, Grandmaster Grandpa, kick that beat!
Okay, IC Robot, let's get this party started right. Let's get this party started quickly.This is World's Famous with IC Robot.
What's up, guys? This is me, your dude, IC Robots, and we're back here in the studios. I am all alone. This is the annual 7 days of solitude in which the entire family goes back to the old country to visit with relatives. Why don't I go? Honestly, I don't like to travel. I don't want to go. Somebody has to stay behind and watch the dogs and watch the house, and that person is me. Honestly, I don't want to go back over there and hang out with... I don't want to hang out with the in-laws in their house for a week. That's just me, man. I like my privacy. I like my quiet time. And honestly, this annual 7 days of solitude is like, it's a nice reset in the relationship. I think that all relationships can do with like time apart. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. At the beginning, I'm really like, I'm jazzed to be by myself. I'm hanging out alone. I'm doing whatever. But then by the end, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so lonely. I can't wait for them to get back. And then we're all in love again, and it's all beautiful, and it's all great. What am I going to do this week? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't have a lot on my plate right now. I'm going to do this. I might work with our guy, PD Power, and make an exciting episode of a Power Records Playhouse. I don't know. Honestly, I'm going to, like, work out. I'm going to do whatever. Go for walks. Take the dogs for walks. I'm going to watch whatever it is that I want to watch on TV. Do you guys do this? Do you married guys, you married ladies out there, do you ever take a time apart to find each other? I don't know. It feels healthy. It feels right. It feels like something that just, I don't know, it should be done. Anyway, we're going to have a fun episode ahead of us. I really don't know what we're going to talk about, but whatever it is, it's going to be cool. We're going to open up some G.I. Joe figs. We're going to talk about what I did at the flea market. Had a really good flea market the other week. This is going to be a good one. Let's get into the opening segment right about now.
Our next bit of information is on IC Robot's recent purchase of a G.I. Joe figure of some sort. Let's hear something about that.
If you insist.
Let's hear something about that.
If you insist.
As a matter of fact, I do insist. We are back for the next segment. We're going to talk about not a Motu this week. I know that's a rare occurrence lately. We've been really scoring on those Motus over at Ross. But this week we got something different, but it is also from Ross. I have right here, well, not right here. I'm reaching away and I apologize. But what I have right here is two G.I. Joe classifieds of two of my favorite G.I. Joe characters of all the times in space. These guys right now, they're pretty ubiquitous. If you go to Ross, just about any Ross right now, you can find these for $5.99 a piece. What I have is figures number 44 and 45, Tomax and Zaymot. Back in the day, Tomax and Zaymot, the Cobra Twins, were like two of my favorite guys. And I don't know if, like, I don't know if this was in the serious way, because dudes like Stalker are my favorite, but, like, I thought that Tomax and Zaymot were just so cool and so funny. I think what you would call that nowadays is, like, they were like a meme between me and my friends. I had one guy that I hung out with a lot, dude who went by the name of Galaxy Joe, and we would pretend kind of that we had the powers of Tomax and Zaymot. And I don't know if you know this, but they share, like, a mental bond. If you hit one, they will both feel the pain. And we would have fun pretending that we were like Tomax and Zaymot. And we would like pretend to punch ourselves in the face and the other one would feel it too. It was all very silly. I found out that this is called being a Corsican brother. There is something called a Corsican twin where you're supposed to share like some kind of like super bond where you can like have telepathy and all these things. And funnily enough, these two guys are from Corsica. That's like a little bit of a Larry Hama humor. He kind of would sometimes get like these little literary references into things. He's a cool guy. Very cool, very smart guy. I met him at a comic show, thought he was delightful, did a great panel. That was a lot of fun. Awesome time all around. But let's take a quick little pause right here and get some info on Tomax and Ziggity Zaymot.
Tomax and Zamot speak in notable accents which show they are from Corsica. The brothers were at some point members of the Unione Corsa, served in the French Foreign Legion in Algeria, then as mercenaries. They realized they would soon become too old and weak to be soldiers forever, so they changed careers and studied banking. Unhappy with the world of corporate finance, the brothers found the opportunities available in international terrorism. Their specialties are in infiltration, espionage, sabotage, propaganda, and corporate law.
That whole thing there seems very Larry Hama, to have these guys be bankers slash terrorists. Our guy's very anti-establishment. Really cool dude, like I said before. So I have the two figures here. They are in the typical G.I. Joe classified wrappers, which is a nice box with a window in the front. You can see all the accessories there. The original Tomax and Zamot came in really cool packaging. They were a two-pack, where each side had, like, mirrors. Like, it came like it was rounded around a little bit. The card wasn't flat like a typical card, and the rounded portions were mirrors, you know, showing that they were twins. They were mirror reflections of each other. But let's bust into that. I think that was really one of the selling points. Recently, I was on the online, and I looked and I saw that one of those in the package goes for, like, $500. So, if you have one, good for you. That was the Arthur Fonzarelli brand Switchblade, which we're going to use to open up the tape here on the packaging, and then we're gonna slide it out. It's on a tray with, he has a machine gun of some sort, a dagger, and then what looks like a clip or something, and then some kind of a bomb, and then another dagger. Let's see. Are there any holders holding him down here? Are we gonna need, let's see if he's held down by anything. Doesn't look like we are gonna need the Engineer Nerd Snippy Snips to pull him out. Shout out to Engineer Nerd TV filmtoys.com. So we're just pulling Tomax right out. I do kind of like it when they're not tied up. I don't really feel that's necessary, but they want to hold it in there nice and tight. They want it to be good, so I appreciate that as well. He has nice head sculpt. He has some bangs. Looks just like an advanced version of Tomax and Zamot with the armored shoulder pads. Exactly what you would expect. These G.I. Joe classifieds are very, very good quality action figures. Actually, let's use these Engineer Nerd brand four snips to pull the weapons out. So there is the little machine gun, and then this one has tape on it. Let's pull. I kind of like it when they come off on the tape. Like, they're taped down, but then the tape holding them allows them to just slide right off. So let's throw the tape over there. And then he has his other dagger. Dude's a double knife fighter. He has the ability to fight with one knife in each hand, which is, that's really a skill you want to have, I think, if you're going to be some kind of a mercenary. When you listen to the background of Tomax and Zamot, you see that these dudes really were quite proficient soldiers. They were in the French Foreign Legion. They fought in Africa as mercenaries. On the cartoon, you kind of get the idea that they're simply bankers and that they're kind of prissy, kind of wussy. But in reality, these guys have more than their share of blood on their hands. So let's see. You got the two daggers, and they go into little scabbards. One on his hip, and then the other one. This one appears to be sealed. Like, I don't know if that's the actual one. So let's take a look. We'll put that aside, and then he has a little holder for his extra clip. We'll put that right down there. Magazine, I think, is what they're called. His magazine. We'll put his magazine here. I used to get magazines at Sawyer's News downtown. Now we get them at Barnes & Noble's downtown. I can't really get this in. I don't want to force it. So we'll set that aside as well. Then he has what appears to be, I don't know what this appears to be, honestly. It's a cylinder of some sort. I don't know. Is it a bomb, maybe? I'm really not sure what this is. I know this is like an amazing audio unboxing right now. I don't know what anything is, and I can't get anything to go where it belongs. But so we got these three accessories over here. I think this dagger actually goes into that scabbard. So you have one dagger is on his boot on the left side, and then one dagger is over on the right by his hip. you know, you want one on each side, but I don't know what you do with this extra magazine and this other... Oh, the magazine actually goes into the weapon. Let's put that in there. I wonder if this other piece... So that, let's see, that goes right in there. Looks pretty cool. I wonder if this is... Oh, this is a... You know what this is? It is a silencer.
Feel the blast on the silencer.
Move them in, move them out, stick it up.
And it goes right into the barrel of the weapon. Oh, that's cool. You know, when they're doing, like, some assassinations or whatever. When they're on an assassination mission, they can pull that. And, of course, I dropped it. It's on the floor. Oh, here it is. I can see it right here. Let's rip into Zaymot. First we open Tomax, then we open Zaymot, and then you have the Cobra Twins. The Cobra Twins. We'll pull this out here. First you open Tomax, then you open Zaymot, and then you have the Cobra Twins. Move these over here. I wonder if the dudes in Cobra thought that Tomax and Zaymot, their little Corsican twin gimmick of each one having various pain. I wonder if dudes in Cobra thought that that was all made up, or if they bit into it. One has to wonder. So this is all the same stuff. These figures, like I said, are at Ross, and they are honestly at every Ross in town. I think we have 3 or 4 Rosses in the area, and everyone I go to, you can get up on Tomax and Zaymot if you want. I think the reason that they did not sell so well is because they are essentially the same figure. Like, they're the same, just opposite. And I don't know why you would want to buy 2. I would have put these in a 2-pack, but then that's like a $50 2-pack, and who's going to buy that? Who's going to spend $50 to buy both Tomax and Zaymot? I mean, some people might. I don't know. I don't know what people are going to do. I might do that. I didn't, though. Actually, I did not. So let's go ahead and assemble all of his stuff here. Stick the magazine in the gun. It's what we do. We're having fun. We'll put it right there. This blade down here. And we'll stick this blade over here. Well, now we got them together. We'll see how they compare side to side. Basically, they're opposite. One has his hair parted one way, one has it the other way. One has shoulder armor on the left, one has it on the right, which is what you would expect. You know, let's get their guns together. What I would do is I would make them different-handed, just for fun. One is a left, and one's a right. It's what they do when they fight. So we'll set them right here. I dropped something. Oh, there it is. Got it. Don't worry, guys. Don't fret. It's all together. What will I do with these 2 figures? I don't know. Honestly, I'll probably put them back in the wrapper, which is what I've been doing with my G.I. Joe classifieds. I put them back into the packaging, then I put them out on the garage, and I have a shelf with all of them because they have so many cool little accessories and stuff, and I don't want to separate them from them. And I might want to take pictures with them, or I might want to play. I might want to do something. I doubt I will. Honestly, will I take pictures of Tomax and Zaymot? I might. I don't know. I've never really had a lot of success in taking pictures of more than one figure at a time. Don't know why that is. I guess it's probably that way in the world of photography. It's probably easier to take a picture of one than it is to take a pic of 2 people. No, it didn't really work. Anyhow, we're going to go jump ahead. This was fun. Easily worth like $12. I probably paid $13 with cash. Easily worth that. If you have a Ross near you, go down, pick him up. It's only $5.99. Now we're going to have Derek here with This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
Why is it world famous if, like, literally less than, like, nobody has ever heard of it?
Charge it.
Is this, like, an attempt at irony or something? I don't get it.
Charge it.
This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
This is Derek for This Week in Japanese League Baseball. A new pitch called the Dynamite Ball is raising concerns about safety and potential injuries due to its explosive nature. This pitch is said to have an unpredictable trajectory and can sometimes combust if hit with too much force. This unpredictable and explosive nature raises safety concerns for players as well as fans who could risk injury from flying debris and shrapnel. The league has yet to decide on whether to allow this pitch to use in upcoming games or not, but the topic has sparked debate and controversy among players and fans alike. One of the main dangers posed by the dynamite ball is the potential damage caused to catchers. This position requires the player to position themselves behind the plate and directly in the path of the pitched ball, which could significantly increase the risk of injury if the ball detonates. catchers may have to wear additional protective gear to avoid the possibility of serious injury from flying debris and shrapnel. This has been This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
That was This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
Up next, a look at this week's flea market acquisitions.
I went to the flea market and I bought a couple things. Na 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 na. Before we get to the flea market acquisitions, there is some big news in the world of Santa Rosa flea markets. Well, I guess I should say Sonoma County flea markets, because we're also including Sebastopol. It looks like there will be a new flea market opening at the Veterans Building starting, well, it's going to be starting pretty soon. I think it's like the first week of April or the second week of April. I think that by the time this episode drops, there may actually have been one of these over there. It is called Taylor Trades Outdoor Market, and I did try to do a little research on who owns the domain name, but I kind of have an idea that this flea market is being put on by that dude who owns that bar, The Dirty, guy who goes by the name of Cody Taylor that I see hanging out at the Dig all the time. And if it is him, well, no matter who it is, I gotta give it up, because the Veterans Building is the perfect spot for the flea market. Now, as we all know, if you've been following along for any amount of time, there used to be a flea market at the Veterans Building, the Mojo Sales Flea Market, but there were some issues between her and the management, and they ran her out, and then it was in the old Kmart parking lot, and then now it's out on Santa Rosa Avenue. But the Veterans Building spot is absolutely perfect for a flea market. It's big, there's ample parking, and if that somehow overflows, there's parking on the street. It's a central location to everyone in Santa Rosa. It's really, really great, and I'm excited to see it go back there again. I would have to say, I don't think that this is the best news of all the times and space for the Mojo Sales flea market, because I don't know what you're going to do when there's a bigger, better flea market in Santa Rosa. But the one thing that might affect this is that the spots at the all-new flea market are $50 a piece, whereas in Sebastopol or out at Mojo Sales, they're only $25 a piece. I myself think that $50 is pretty high for a flea market space. I mean, it's not like the rent on a house or anything, but that's a little much. But we will see. Time will tell if that is an appropriate price or not. I kind of feel like people are going to complain, people are going to whine, but in the end, they'll end up paying it. This flea market is only going to be 3 weeks out of four, not every week of the month, which I think is cool, man, because honestly, I do get burnt out on the flea market, so being able to skip one every once in a while will be nice. Will this new flea market also speed up the end of the Sebastopol flea market? I don't know. Time will tell on that one. They have a very specific clientele over in Sebastopol, and I think that those people are going to support it irregardless. I mean, it survived Mojo. It survived the 48. It survived every other flea market that's come and gone. And I kind of think, in the end, the Sebastopol flea market will be the one that stands alone. But this is also, time will tell. You'll never know. But I am excited about the new Taylor Trades flea market. Will they ever sell there? Maybe, maybe not. I do think that $50 is a bit much for a spot. But would I pay it? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. All right, let's move on to the acquisitions. We haven't been to the flea market in a long time. I'm not even kidding. It's been over a month. It has been raining here in Santa Rosa for like the longest time. And then the first week that it wasn't raining, we went to SatCon. So it's been a while. And I do get burnt out on the flea market, but I was really starting to feel the itch again. Like, I was really getting itchy to get out there and see what I could find. So we headed out nice and early over to the Sebastopol flea market, and I have a little bowl of things that I found when I was there, and these were all things I found within, like, the first row. There were all kinds of, like, new vendors, people I hadn't seen before, and that's always really good. That's what you want, the people you haven't seen before, because you don't know what it is they are going to bring out. So let me pull some of this stuff out here. Right here, I have three McNugget Buddies. These were the Happy Meal prizes from back in the day. Let's see if there's a date on these. These came out in 1992. These are Halloween buddies. I got two of them that are little witches, and they have little witches' hats. And then I have one that I did not have before, and it is a ghost. It has like a sheet over it, and you can pull it off and on. I got really back into McNugget Buddies when they did those. I forget who it was. It wasn't Travis Scott. It was some street artist, and they dropped like these adult Happy Meals with all kinds of cool McNugget Buddies. That got me reinterested in the product. So when I see them at the flea market, I pick them up. And you can find like the loose little nuggets all over the place, but it's not as common to find them with their gear. And it's interesting because I always find the witch. Always, always, always. I right now have like three of these. I ended up giving it one to the wife, one's out in the Halloween stuff, and then one is in my collection of McDonald's stuff. So I have these three here. One of them is nude. We'll sit them all there. Very cool. And then I found a Fisher-Price Husky Helper. Those are the, they're not like adventure people. Well, they are like adventure people because they have like 5 points of articulation, but they're smaller, a little more durable, they're a little more chunky. You would go from like the little Fisher-Price peg people into the Husky Helpers and then onto the adventure people. And this one is like a car mechanic. I have a few of these. I have a couple firemen, I have a policeman, and I have a cowboy. When I was a kid, I would play with these like crazy. I thought they were really cool. In my imaginary action figure world, the Husky Helpers were smaller, but they were far more powerful than like a G.I. Joe or like a Star Wars guy because they have like more of a dense body structure. So I pretend these dudes were like dwarfs, like super powerful dwarfs. And if they got a hold of you, they could rip you limb from limb. This guy's a little mechanic. We'll sit him here. And then these are the cool things I found in this little first stop. I got two blow mold knockoff Mad Balls. Isn't that weird? I was just talking about Mad Balls the other week, and then I found two of them right here. This one has like a scary little face with like fangs and like red eye and one black eye. This guy is named Droopy. He has a name. I found out this one was like a 50-cent machine prize, you know, the bigger kind, not the little quarter machine, the double-sized one. This one came in that. It's about the size maybe of a golf ball, more or less. And then I found another one. And this one has, like, it doesn't have a face. It's supposed to be one big eye. It's like a scary green eye with, like, a scary lizard on it. This one does not have a name. It was made in Hong Kong. You can tell the age of things by where they were manufactured. In the day, Hong Kong. Then after that, Taiwan and Singapore, and now China. If you see something made in China, it's more than likely a little more current than something found in Taiwan. Hong Kong is what you're looking for. If you check out your old toys, you'll see a lot of them came from Hong Kong. That was the manufacturing hub for all kinds of plastic materials. I think out of all these things I got here, my favoritest is this one Mad Ball called Droopy. I've had Mad Balls on my mind since that one show and that one guy with the $9 bag. I'm going to show him. I'm going to find all those Mad Balls that he had for $9 in total. I believe I paid $7 for this whole thing right here. And I think that's a great price. I did a little online searching and I saw that this one here named Droopy sells for like $25 on the online. So there you go. Nice little profit to be had if I decide to sell these, which I will not because I am in love with them. And then the thing that we found that was one of the most overwhelming, perfect, most greatest things I've ever found at the flea market was a lamp, a swag lamp. A swag lamp is the kind that hangs on a chain or a wire. You would like, you know, use a hook and you hang it off the hook up in the ceiling. But it is it's a 1960s rock candy Lucite lamp. It's very hard to describe. It's black and there are little pieces of green what looks like kryptonite rocks all around it, and the light passes through the rocks. It is beautiful. I love it so much. I saw it at my dude Alan's booth. My guy Alan, I think I voted him the coolest guy in Sonoma County in an episode of the, I think it was the Stuck at Home show a long time ago. We did like the top three coolest guys in Sonoma County, and I believe our dude Alan came out number one. Flea market vendor, skateboarder, all around super nice, super happy, super positive guy. We saw his stuff there, and he always has good stuff. Always has like tables full of just little bitty loose things. I have no idea where he sources stuff. I see him at the dig sometimes. I know this stuff's not all coming from the dig. I have no idea where he sources it, but he was sitting there at his table on his truck, and the lamp was sitting next to him. The lamp was beautiful. I loved it at first sight, and I'm like, hey man, what's up with that lamp? And he's like, oh, I found it. It was out in my dad's backyard sitting behind behind a tree. I don't know if it works or not. And I'm just like, wow, that is amazing. I'm looking at it. I loved it. I had to go find the wife, the love of my life, the wind of my sails. I had to go find her and tell her about this beautiful thing that I found and bring her back. We negotiated a price of $30 for it, and man, we brought it home, cleaned it out, gave it a very thorough cleaning, very thorough detailing with a toothbrush and stuff, hung it up. It worked. The light bulb in it still worked. This thing was covered in dirt from being outside for who knows how long, and when we plugged it in, it worked. It's in my house now. I love it. I'll post a picture of it at some point after this episode airs, and man, it's gorgeous. Perfect for any kind of like 60s swinger lab, anything like that. It's great, dude. I love it. I love it. I love it. Every once in a while, you find something at the flea market that just like, it changes your whole living room. Now, I gotta say, my living room is cool in the first place. We got all kinds of lava lamps. We got all kinds of cool stuff. But this lamp, this Lucite rock candy lamp, it just elevates everything to a whole nother level of beauty. It is terrific. Just absolutely fantastic. We're going to have to call this segment. We're running up on it. But before we move ahead, let's get into this ad from Pooptronics. I think it's the one about those hats. They're really pushing these hats like crazy. Don't buy one. They will probably make you crazy or something weird.
Hello, I am Dr. Bucket, inventor of the spiritual protection bucket hat. Many people have asked me, how does it work? Well, I am not allowed to tell you exactly how it works, but I can tell you that it definitely does work and will protect you from all the spirits that are out there trying to enter your head. Every day, you are surrounded by the spirits of people that you wronged in life and they all want to get back at you. That is what the spirit world is like. Vengeful. There is only one way to protect yourself and that is with a Pooptronics brand spiritual protection bucket hat. Available now at a mall kiosk near you. Not only does it protect you, it is also quite stylish. Get yours today and be like popular Hollywood celeb Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice. Philip Michael, tell them about your cool hat.
Sure, Dr. Bucket. This is the best hat that I ever had. It stays on perfect, and since I've had it, I haven't been bothered by one ghost. No, not even one. Back when I was on Miami Vice, I used to wear hats, so I know a thing or two about them. This here is a fly lid, if I've ever seen one, and I'm friends with Don Johnson from Miami Vice. Get your spiritual protection bucket hat today. Only from Pooptronics.
You are listening to KRJF, FM 92.3 in Santa Rosa, simulcasting on 88.1 in Bodega Bay. Today is the day when everything comes together. I can feel it. I know you can feel it too.
Ever since I met you. Alrighty, tidy-whitey, we are back. This is me, Icy Robots. I gotta say, I don't think that that was Philip Michael Thomas. It might have been, but I really don't think that it was. I saw a picture of dude lately, and he has a giant beard. He's looking pretty good, looking pretty stylish, and I just can't imagine this guy wearing one of those bucket hats. Honestly, maybe I could, but I can't imagine that he would do an ad for Pooptronics. But I don't know him. I don't know him personally, so what can I say? Maybe he would, but I would recommend, don't get one of those hats. I don't think that they do anything, honestly. I just can't imagine that they really keep you away from spirits. I personally don't think that spirits are real, but if they are, I just can't imagine a hat created by Dr. Bucket is going to be the thing to protect you. But then again, I don't know. I don't know how things work out there in the world. I just know how things work here behind the microphones in Icy Robots Radio Studio. So I hope you guys are all doing good. I hope things are going well. It is freezing cold right now. I'm in the studio, like I said. And man, it is like freezing cold. It started raining again. I heard there's going to be some thunder. What we all need a weather report from me, your guy, Icy Robots. I'm just kind of in one of those, I don't really know what to talk about behind the mic kind of moods right now. Happens from time to time. I don't have like a super hot topic planned for anything. I was kind of thinking, I'll just get on here and I'll vamp and we'll see where it goes. And sometimes when you do that, it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe we could open up another figure. I have so many down here that it might be fun to get into these, man. I have been hitting licks, like I said, over at Ross lately. And then I went to that toy show and I got a bunch of stuff. But there is like so many things over here. Here's another Masterverse guy. Got this one here. I got this Captain Carter. Maybe we should open this Captain Carter. You guys want to do that? That would be fun, right? Let's just do that, a kind of off-the-cuff kind of deal here with Captain Carter. I'm a big fan of Peggy Carter. I haven't seen every episode of her show, but I think that it was fun what I did see. I kind of got late into the game on that one, and then when I heard it only lasted one season, it didn't really feel like I should jump into it. But the ones that I've seen were pretty fun, and I have enjoyed her in the Captain America movies. I think that Hayley Atwell is an absolute delight. Who doesn't like Hayley Atwell, man? If you do, if you don't, I gotta say, you're tripping. She's great. Let's take a look at this. This was part of the What If wave, and if you get them all, you can build the Watcher. That's pretty fun. You have a zombie Captain America, then you have T'Challa as Star-Lord, Captain Carter, then you have a zombie Spidey, then you have Doctor Strange Supreme, then you have the Nebula, and then you have Sylvie. I'm not really feeling Sylvie. I watched Loki, I saw both seasons of Loki, and I just didn't really think she was that interesting. But hey man, if you do, good for you. Good for you, man, that you have something out there that you like. What should we do? Let's go check the supercomputer and we can find out who is Captain Carter before we move too far ahead on this.
Captain Margaret Elizabeth Peggy Carter is a strategic scientific reserve agent during World War II. When Steve Rogers, the original candidate for Project Rebirth, was wounded by Heinz Kruger, Carter disobeyed John Flynn's orders and received the Super Soldier Serum and became the first successful Super Soldier. Being given the rank of Captain and donning the colors of the Union Jack, she led the Allied forces against Hydra and Red Skull as Captain Carter. As Red Skull attempted to use the Tesseract to summon the champion of Hydra, Carter led an assault on Hydra stronghold, and her sacrificing herself to stop the champion, going through a wormhole.
And I think that wormhole led her into season two. Hey, did you guys notice? That was Philip Michael Thomas, now who works for us here on IC Robots Radio. Isn't that great? Little crossover event. The first appearance of Peggy Carter as a comic character is in Tales of Suspense number 75. That came out in 1966. That's a comic I have. It's a good one. It's the first appearance of Peggy Carter and also Sharon Carter. You can pick that one up for only like $50. I think that's like a massively undervalued comic. I think that I have read that there is going to be more Peggy Carter in the next wave of Marvel movies. And I think that is because Hayley Atwell is one of the actors that they have locked into a long-term contract. And since she's so awesome in the first place, why not just use her? That we heard right there, the Arnold Fonzarelli brand Switchblade. We're going to cut this piece of tape right here so we can open it up on the side. As we know, I picked this figure up at SatCon. I was very excited to do so. Can't get my finger into here. Oh, there we go. Got that. We're going to pull it open. I opened it up on the left side, and we're going to pull her out sideways. The whole tray comes out, and then she's held here. Are there any bands that we're going to have to use the Engineer Nerd for snips? It does not look like we are going to have to use them, but just from like first appearances, this is a very nice figure. It looks a lot like the animated version of Hayley Atwell. I'm not even going to lie. She comes with her shield, her Union Jack shield, and then we have two pieces of the Watcher. We have his arms. I never know what to do with these pieces when I have them. Like, I've never in my whole entire life completed a Build-A-Figure. Is this something that you guys have done? I have never done it. I've never bought the whole entire wave of anything. I would like to, but there's always like a figure or two I don't want in each wave. So, I don't know, man. I'm just never going to do it. But someday it's a dream of mine. What I do with these, I just never know what to do with the pieces that I do have. I wish there was like some kind of like community donating bin that you could put these in so that other people can maybe complete the ones that they want. Let's take her off of the cardboard. It has a cardboard backing. And then we're just gonna pull her out. Pull her out right here. And then we're gonna take off her shield, and then I will sit the arms, the Watcher's arms. The Watcher's kind of a cool character. I would not mind this Build-A-Watcher. And it looks, just judging by these arms, it looks pretty big. So that would be kind of a cool one. Not a bad idea. And he plays a big important part in the world of What If. So that's a nice little touch there. Let's take a look at the figure. Her shield is over here. She has like a nice 50s style hairdo, very cool. She has the Union Jack on her chest, and it looks like there's no place to put her shield on her back. I was like when Captain America like takes it and attaches it to his back, but let's see how it fits into her hand. You gotta run the strap over her fist. Yeah, it goes on there good enough, easy enough. I got it on her. Looks like appropriate in her hand. I've always thought that Captain America's shield is one of the coolest weapons accessories in all of toydom. I myself always wanted to have one. I always wanted to have a real Captain America shield. And then back in the days of Toys R Us, they were selling one for the longest time, and it wasn't the one that I wanted. I don't want the one from the movie where it has like silver on it. I want the one from the comics where it has like white color on it. So I didn't buy it, even though I probably should have, because it would still be fun to have. But I want the one that looks kind of plastic and it has white on it, if you know what I'm talking about. I was looking around on the online the other day, and you can order like a pretty decent looking Captain America shield for like $80 from China, but it's not the comic accurate one. It is the one from the movies. The one that Peggy Carter has right here is more comic accurate. It has like a white band. That's what I want, the white band and little flag there in the middle. Let's take a look. Her articulation is, well, it's vast. She has wrist, elbows, shoulders, head, ankles, hips, waist, you name it. She even has like the ab crunch, so she can do sit-ups if she wants. I don't know if she does. I don't know. Once you're a super soldier, do you still have to work out? Probably a little bit. You probably have to work out, but the results that you get are just like massively greater than the results I get when I'm hanging and clanging over at a Stan Bennett's gym. The other day, I was over at a Stan Bennett's gymnasium, and I was trying to hit the speed bag. They have, like, a little boxing area with, like, heavy bags and speed bags. And I've like, dabbled in the world of speed bags. I'm not really good at it. I kind of have, like, this stabbing motion when I punch. And you're supposed to have, like, a circular motion. That's what I learned. Because I'm doing it. Like, I'm stabbing the bag. I'm, like, stab, 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 stab. And then this homeboy comes over, and he's like, hey, man, do you want me to show you how to do it, like, an older guy? And I go, yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind. I do not mind if somebody sees me struggling and they offer me help. I am not that much of an egotist that I won't accept the help. So he comes up and he's like, let me show you. And he's just like running his hands like in a circular motion. He's like, you do it like this. Whacka, 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 whacka. So he showed me that, and now I can do it too. So knowledge is power. If you know something about something, share what you know. Then let's get back to Peggy Carter. Very cool figure. Man, we're running out of time. We're going to have to go into the next segment. I'm blabbing about nothing. This is a cool figure. I'm very happy to have it. Her joints are a little tight. I've heard people say that you could put them in hot water to loosen them up, but I don't know if I'll do that. Maybe I'll take it in the bathtub and goof around. We'll have some bath time with Peggy Carter. Let's move forward into whatever is going to come next.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high.
So it turns out the next segment of the show is Reading Rainbow. I think I'm coming down with a cold. I don't know, man. How can you tell? How can you tell when allergy season starts if you have an allergy or you have a cold? Because they feel very similar. I think that the fact that I have a cough is leading me to believe that I might be coming down with a cold. But, you know, such is life. All you can do is just, you know, keep on keeping on. Let's take a look at some of the books and stuff that I've read over the last little while. The first one is a book. It's a paperback book. It originally cost $23.95. I got it on eBay for $4. And it is titled Too Sweet, Inside the Indie Wrestling Revolution by Keith Elliott Greenberg. In 2017, after being told that no independent wrestling show could draw a crowd of more than 10,000, a group of wrestlers took up the challenge. This is the story of what led up to the big wrestling event called All In that eventually led up to the new wrestling group called AEW. I say new, even though they've been around for like, I don't know, 4-5 years at this point. I enjoyed this book. There was a lot of cool background information that I didn't know and a lot of things that really like tied everything together into a nice little bow. It kind of focuses on the Southern California indie group of like the Young Bucks, Excalibur, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and stuff. And it really like, I don't necessarily follow the indie scene that closely. I'm aware of it. I know of a lot of the big players and stuff, but I wasn't following the pro wrestling guerrilla scene down in Southern California that closely, and I didn't realize that, like, in a lot of ways, what we have when we have AEW nowadays is kind of like a convergence of PWG and another big indie group called Ring of Honor. A lot of people like to think that AEW is kind of like the rebirth of WCW, but honestly, I kind of think it's more the rebirth or the national expansion of Ring of Honor with a little pro wrestling guerrilla thrown in there. I enjoyed this book. It was very informative. I thought it was well written. A lot of info that I didn't know before. This one's going to go on the bookshelf. A lot of times I'll read a book and then I take it and I put it out in the little library out in front of my house. I don't really like keep a lot of the books that I read. Some of them I do. Not a lot. Maybe like, I don't know, 25% for the most part. Unless it's like part of my wrestling library, it just goes out there in front of the house. But that's fine, man. It's nice to share. You know, it's nice to share. You don't need to keep every book you've ever read. If I did, man, the whole house would be piles and piles and piles of books. It took me not very long to get through this one, like 3 or 4 days at the most. It's not thin or anything. Let's take a look. It's like just under 300 pages, but I thought the subject matter was so interesting that I really did get through it a lot. It had a lot about Joey Janela, who I find to be an interesting character. And it also had a lot to do with Gino Vegas' favorite wrestler of all the time and space, a guy who goes by the name of Joey Ryan. Look that guy up. He had some really cool, interesting gimmicks back in the day. He's not in wrestling currently, I don't think, which is sad for Gino, good for everyone else. And then I read some comics. As you guys all know, I get like my monthly comics and stuff. The first one I read was Fantastic Four number 15, which I thought was really, really good. This run of Fantastic Four, I'm finding to be very, very easy to get into. Man, I'm just saying very, very. I'm just not really feeling very well right now. There, I said very again. I can feel the cold. It's kind of taking me over. Like, my mouth is really wet. My nose is really dry. I can hear how nasally I sound, which is sad. But you know what? I'll survive, dude. I survive. I keep on keeping on. Like, that's the motto here. But this one was pretty good. In it, there is a computer app. It's kind of, let me try to explain this. It's an app that lives on people's phones, like all apps do, but there's no centralized hardware for the app. Everybody who has the app is giving a little bit of their computing power to the app, and then eventually, so many people get into it. It becomes very, very popular. So many people get into it that it starts to develop like a sentient. It starts to get like a mind of its own. What does it say? Every single phone attached to the app is like one neutron in a brain. And when it got to enough neutrons, it became alive. And at first, it was doing some, I won't say evil, but it was doing some bad stuff. And Reed Richards had to try to stop it. But then he discovered that it was sentient. He communicated with it. And eventually, all kinds of things happened. It was good. It's good. What I'm liking about this run of the Fantastic Four is that every issue is its own standalone story. Some of them, they're two issues. But by and large, it's like one or two issue stories. Good stuff. Then the next comic I took a look at was Daredevil. I gotta say, I'm not really loving this run of Daredevil. My guy Chip Zdarsky stepped away from the book, and then this new fellow writing it. The writing is good. I just don't really like where the story's going. At the end of the Chip Zdarsky run, our guy Matt Murdock died, and then somehow when this one started, he was reborn, but he's no longer the famous lawyer in Hell's Kitchen. He's now a priest. He's Father Matt. I'm just not liking it. And this one, he runs into She-Hulk, who is one of my favorite characters of all the time in space. Shout out to the nerdy blogger, the only person I know who might be a bigger She-Hulk fan than me. Shout out to her. So it was nice to get She-Hulk in this, but I just didn't like the story. It's leading into some kind of like demonic possession, which isn't really, that's not really my bag, dude. I like to see Daredevil out on the street fighting crooks, fighting hoods, fighting thugs. I don't need to see him down in HE double hockey sticks fighting devils. That's just me. Maybe you do like that, but I'm going to stick with it. I've been reading Daredevil for decades now, so I'm going to stick it out, see what happens. I don't love everything that's ever happened in Daredevil. We'll find out. Maybe it'll be great. I never know where these things are going. And then I'm reading a new miniseries. This is a big one on Marvel. It's called Avengers Twilight, and this is written by my guy, Chip Zdarsky. Honestly, I never thought I'd be a Chip Zdarsky fan. There's something about that name Chip that really turned me off. But once I started reading him, I discovered dude is actually quite great. And this little mini continues his greatness. I think that it's 5 or 6 issues. I'm honestly not I'm really not that sure, but I do think it's like 5 or 6 issues. Right now it's on number 4, and I've read all 4. It's set in a dystopian future with a lot of government overreach and whatnot, and then you got the Avengers are all in hiding. There's a new corporate Avengers team. Everybody's old. Luke Cage is old. Captain America's so old, the super soldier serum has left his body, and in the first issue, he takes it again. They've created it again. He takes it, and he comes back out of retirement to fight the evil government. One of the things that I think is interesting in this, in the future, you're not allowed to record anything. You can't record any audio. You can't record any video. You can't record anything. I think that is super interesting. Nowadays, people record everything, and you really kind of take for granted the freedom to record things. But when it gets to the point where people are trying to hide the truth, they're trying to change the truth, and one of the first things they would do is make it so that you can't capture the truth as you see it. You can only see the truth as they see it. So to me, that was just like a nice, interesting touch. It's not something that I ever thought about, because recording your life, recording things, it's so ubiquitous nowadays that you just kind of take the whole thing for granted. Guys, I think that I think we're gonna call it at this point. I'm fighting back coughing, but that's called Avengers Twilight. It's on book 4. When it gets to be a trade paperback, I would recommend checking it out. The art is awesome. The whole thing looks kind of watercolored. I'm really, really digging that. So we're gonna call it. We're gonna get up out of here. I'll be back in a couple weeks, you guys. Make sure to check out Power Records Playhouse. Our guy, PD Power, is absolutely killing it. That show is doing so great. Thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody out there on KRJF. This is me, Ice Robot, signing off, saying, if you don't like what's going on in the news, go out there and make some of your own.
All right, Am, bring in the organs. And you know I got to have that. Some people listen because they want a mystery. Some people listen, then say we're whack. But if they miss the show, they get the heart attack. Now look at you, you're sitting there, biting your lip. The whole world sees you as a hypocrite. Live out the first law and make yourself preservation. If the show doesn't help you, change the station. If you don't want peace in the world, love, peace, and happiness in an endless swirl. If all you want to do is keep the whole world back, you're the one that's whack. And we're
everybody. I'd like to thank all the engineers for making this record. I'd like to thank you for buying this record. But finally, I'd like to thank all the Buffalo girls out there.
Yo, Slick Blow.
That's right, BLE.
IC Robots Radio is a listener-supported endeavor. If you like what we do here and you look forward to new programming, consider helping us to bring fun stuff every week by heading over to supportthereport.com and tossing a few pounds into the hat. It's important to support things that you enjoy. Thanks and have a great week. Supportthereport.com.
Everybody love everybody. Right there up on the wall.
I don't think so.
Wow.
This has been an IC Robots Radio production.
Trash Busters.
This is Derek for the Santa Rosa Trash Busters Alliance. I was out at the park yesterday and I saw this old dude, a total boomer, toss his cigarette butt on the ground near the playground. I was there practicing my parkour. Anyway, I got so mad about this disgusting litter bug that I did a flip off the bars and picked up the butt before it hit the ground. Then I did 2 somersaults over the old dude and put the butt right into his front pocket. He didn't even notice. The fun part was that it was still smoking. I don't want to hope he got burnt, but if he did, so be it. Smoking is gross, but if you do decide to do it, put your butt in your pocket, but be sure to put it out first.
This has been an announcement from the Sonoma County Alliance to Stop Old Dorks from Tossing Cigarette Butts Everywhere Alliance. Busted.